How well is our waiting time strategy working? What roadblocks must be cleared before tangible results are seen? The Fraser Institute released its 16th annual survey, Waiting Your Turn, Hospital Waiting Lists in Canada, which shows waiting times in Canada's hospitals increased slightly in 2006 and continued to hover near the 18-week mark first reached in 2003. I'm pleased to introduce Nadim Ismail, Director of Health System Performance at the Fraser Institute and co-author of the survey. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
What was the source of the data?
Well, what we do every year is we go out to all of the medical specialists in Canada in the Canadian Medical Directory who will accept a survey, and we send them a survey asking what the wait times are in their practice. This year, 28% of those specialists responded. We then take their wait times for how long it takes to see them and how long it takes to get certain medical procedures after consultation. We take a median of those measures. We then weight those medians into specialty wait times, provincial wait times, and national wait times using the number of procedures done in the year previous from the Canadian Institute for Health Information.
Now, with a 28% response rate, is there a statistical margin of error that's involved with this?
It is a population survey, but what we do every year is we take the results we get from the physicians and we send them out to all of the provinces in Canada, all of the wait time registry programs, all of the cancer agencies and cardiac agencies like the Cardiac Care Network of Ontario, and ask for numbers to help us validate that information from the specialist. What we find, once we make appropriate adjustments to Saskatchewan's numbers and BC's numbers for some of the differences in methodology that we have between our method and the provincial method, is that, in fact, if anything, the numbers the specialists are giving us for publication and waiting your turn are below the actual patient experience. That is, we are, if anything, showing a shorter wait time than what the average patient might experience in a province. So the numbers are not overstated. They're not out of line with what the provincial registries are seeing across Canada, and the numbers are a highly reliable set of measures for waiting times in the country.
Now, when the listeners are hearing the term wait time, that can mean a lot. The definition can mean different things for different people. What were the specific time intervals that were measured that comprised the wait time definition?
Well, the Fraser Institute's Waiting Your Turn survey does something very unique in Canada, and that is it tries to capture the full patient experience by not looking only at the time from specialist decision to treat to treatment, which is what most registries really are looking at. They're looking at the time from booking to treatment, which is a segment of the specialist decision to treat to treatment. We also include the time it takes to see that specialist. So we ask specialists every year, how long would a routine office consult have to wait from today in weeks to see you? So we capture the time not just from specialist to treatment, but from GP referral to specialist. So the total wait time that we measure every year is actually from GP through to treatment, which gives us a much better idea of what the actual patient experience is in Canada, because, of course, you do have to wait for a specialist consultation.
And for some people who don't even have a family doctor, there's actually no point of entry even to get into that stream to see the specialist.
Well, exactly. A large number of Canadians, of course, are still struggling to find a family doctor. We do have a shortage of physicians across the country, including in family medicine. So the problems are compounded by other wait times and other delays beyond just those examined in the survey. The reality is that we are being more comprehensive in terms of the measurement of waiting time than the provincial registries are across Canada, really, but that we are not including every potential wait there might possibly be, including those for emergency care or to find a GP or to even get in to see your GP.
Now, what specific specialties were looked at in this study?
We cover the 12 key medical specialties of plastic surgery, medically necessary plastic surgery, eye surgery, gynecology, ear, nose, and throat surgery, general surgery, neurosurgery, orthopedics, cardiovascular surgery, urology, internal medicine, and radiation and medical oncology.
So this covers a much broader range than the five key areas as identified by our federal and provincial governments.
That's right. In fact, this is Canada's only comprehensive national comparable measurement of waiting times.
So what were your findings from province to province and compared that to the national average?
Well, the national average has gone up slightly, as you pointed out, this year. We're up a little bit less than a day from the 17.7 weeks we saw last year. What that was made up of was a decrease in the wait time from specialist to treatment, which is where governments are really focusing their energies right now. That wait time came down 0.4 weeks, but on the other hand, the wait to see a specialist went up 0.5 weeks. So overall, we actually had a deterioration. Among the provinces, the total wait time from GP to treatment was best in Ontario at 14.9 weeks. Alberta was second at 16.3, then Manitoba at 18. The worst province in the country was New Brunswick, all the way up at 31.9 weeks from GP to treatment. Saskatchewan came in second at 28.5 weeks, and Prince Edward Island was third at 25.8 weeks, all compared back to the national average of 17.8.
And how does this compare to previous years? And the other question I had, and it's an issue that has come up now for discussion with respect to the wait time strategies of the provincial and federal government, of focusing on specific areas of care and the effect that it might have on other areas that aren't under that umbrella. And I'm just wondering if it's too soon yet for this data to demonstrate the effect of that policy.
Well, relative to previous years, we've seen an uptick in some provinces over 2005 and a downtick, but we can go all the way back to 1993 when the first national measurement was done. In 1993, the wait time nationally was 9.3 weeks. It's now 17.8, so we're up 91%. That ranges from a low of up 55% in Alberta to a high of up 191% in the province of Saskatchewan. Ontario is on the low end. Wait times are up 64% since 1993. It is very early to use the 2006 survey results to look at what's been going on as a result of these prioritization programs specifically, in large part because it is a first quarter survey. So the data was measured between January and April, at the beginning of April and sort of mid-January. But it is interesting to note that we are seeing a little bit of this effect here as well. There is a squeezing of the balloon effect that happens when you try to bring down wait times in certain areas without looking at the broad range of services delivered, and that is you'll squeeze one part of the balloon and bring the wait time down here, but other parts will grow. As I pointed out, the wait time to see a specialist has grown while the wait time to receive treatment has shrunk. We've also seen big increases in wait times for neurosurgery and ear, nose, and throat surgery, which are not included in those priority areas. And even when we look down at the provincial level in some provinces, we are seeing this effect take shape in provinces like Alberta, where wait times for orthopedics and cardiovascular and cancer have dropped. But then on the other hand, wait times for ear, nose, and throat surgery neurosurgery are, in fact, on the climb.
So the wait times per specialties do differ, and in some cases they differ widely. I looked at the report, and I saw that for some areas, the waits was in the matter of tens of weeks, as opposed to some other specialties where the wait was in the single digits.
Well, that's right. In fact, when you look across at the specialties, what you see is in cardiovascular surgery and in the two cancer treatment categories, radiation and medical oncology, the wait times are reasonably low compared to what is being done in the other specialties. They're still high. I mean, it's still 5 weeks for cancer treatment and 8 weeks for cardiovascular surgery elective, but that's much shorter than orthopedic surgery, where the wait is up at 40.3 weeks, or neurosurgery, where it's 31.7 weeks.
Now, you also asked the specialists to comment on what a reasonable wait time was versus the actual wait time. And what is the definition that they used with regards to what they consider to be a reasonable wait time?
Well, specialists across Canada are saying that a wait time of 5.5 weeks is clinically reasonable. Now, remember, any wait time is associated with pain and suffering, lost productivity at work, strained personal relationships, lost productivity and enjoyment of leisure time. These sorts of things accompany any wait, regardless of how long it is. A clinically reasonable wait is the wait time that is not medically harmful. That is, you can wait this period of time, the outcome from surgery will be the same as it would have been had you not waited, and you're not going to have a significant increase in risk as you are enduring this wait of 5.5 weeks, according to Canada specialists. The actual wait time in Canada is 9 weeks in total, so about 3.5 weeks longer than what specialists consider to be clinically reasonable.
Now, this wait time of 5.5 weeks, is that across the board for all the specialties, or did each specialty have its own definition of what a reasonable time would be?
Each specialty has its own definition of what is a reasonable time. We build the reasonable wait times the same way we build the actual wait times, and that is we ask by procedure what the reasonable wait time is. So, in fact, if you go into the survey, you will see that specialists across Canada have given us reasonable wait times for every single procedure covered in waiting your turn. This is simply the waiting of them all. When we look down at the specialties, the wait times, reasonable wait times, range from 0.9 weeks for urgent cardiovascular surgery all the way up to 10.5 weeks for orthopedic surgery.
So I guess the next question would be, what does this really mean in terms of how our system is able to cope with the demands for service? There are, you know, in reports already today after this report was released, spinning it in terms of saying, well, you see, the wait times are coming down and there is an improvement and we are getting the job done. What is the public to make of that if they listen to that interpretation versus what this report is saying?
Well, I mean, first off, we have to remember to applaud the provincial and federal governments for acknowledging there is a problem, which is the first step, and actually attempting to do something about it. They do deserve some credit for this, but they are falling well short of the gold standard. The gold standard is not determined by who is the best in Canada. The gold standard is determined by who is the best at delivering access to care, regardless of ability to pay, in the developed world. That's the gold standard, and by that standard, Canadian provinces are failing the test. They are not doing well, and they haven't been doing well since 1993 at least. We know that there are seven developed nations, Austria, Belgium, France, Germany, Japan, Luxembourg, and Switzerland, that guarantee access to care regardless of ability to pay, comprehensive health care, and yet have no waiting list for medically necessary surgery. That is really the test Canadians need to be using to judge whether or not the wait times in their province are good or not. And by that measure, I think the conclusion is fairly clear. No province is meeting that gold standard.
So what would be the solutions to this issue? You mentioned other countries' models. How would that be implemented? And are there any other suggestions that you might have to improve the way the system provides care to its citizens?
Well, you know, it's time, and it's well time that Canadians sat down and took a look at what works elsewhere in the developed world. We really need to move beyond the politics, the rhetoric, and the nonsense that have plagued the healthcare debate for so many years here in Canada. When we look at these seven nations, there are three core policies that tie them all together that are common among all seven of these nations. There is cost sharing for publicly funded services. That is, patients are responsible for some of the cost of the care they consume when they access the healthcare program, a user fee. There is private competitive delivery of publicly funded services. In these nations, as a publicly insured patient, you have a choice between private and public facilities who are competing to deliver care to you. And there's also a private parallel healthcare sector. So if you wish, you can choose to pay for your care yourself and seek it from the private sector, and that's your choice and your option, while understanding that you are still covered by this public healthcare program. These three policies are often considered the Americanization of healthcare in Canada, and that's how we're all too often and all too quickly scared away from implementing these very sensible and sound policies. Canadians need to understand that this is not the Americanization of healthcare. This is the Francization of healthcare, or the Switzerlandization of healthcare, or the Germanization of healthcare. This is a way to get a better, higher quality, better performing, more cost efficient, more cost effective, universal access healthcare system for all Canadians.
Well, Mr. Ismail, I'd like to thank you very much for giving us a lot of food for thought, and I think it's important to continue this discussion and build up pieces of the puzzle so that people do get an understanding of how the system is working, how it's failing, what areas need improvement, and how we can go about making the system provide the care for all Canadians.
I couldn't agree more. Thanks for having me on the show.
All the best.
Take care.